Hi everyone, welcome back to Drinks at Dana's. Today we're going to be talking about episode 305, Locked Out. This week the title actually meant something, which is rare, and it marks the halfway point of season 3. So I think we'll just get right into the episode. I'm here with Chris and Jess from The L Word Online. And you can also watch the video version of this on my YouTube channel, Ash Silver, and it'll be linked in the show notes. So, yeah, what did you guys think of the episode overall?
I don't know if I can do an overall.
Well, my notes have only got 2 pages. That says it all. I should say, like, small notes, note pages.
Reporter notebook you've got there.
Yeah. Usually about 5 or 6 to 7 pages. And now it's only 2.
I did at least twice, right? This is so boring.
Oh my God, I thought that so many times. At one point, I kept pausing it, being like, how much longer? It feels like this episode's been going forever. Like, it's like they just took scenes that should have been a 5-second scene, and they kept coming back to them over and over again. And I'm like, why? I don't want to be on the patio. I don't want to watch Angie pull a condom out of that other chick. I'm like, come on.
Which, to be fair, it's the opposite of what we usually get, which is like you get 20 seconds and that's the entire story, and you're like, why do they only give us that? We want more. Although I do have to say, the opening scene, I was excited to be like, oh, Locked Out means something. And also, I mean, I quite liked the plot device because it felt like how other TV shows are written.
Yeah. Like something was actually gonna, like, you know, progress and be solved. Like, oh, cool, they couldn't talk about it, so now they're going to be locked out, and they have to talk about it. Woohoo! Except it's solved nothing. And they may as well have not been locked out. They may as well have just broken up right then and there, and then we would still be in the same position.
I feel like that was, like, a very, like, Friends or something, like, plot device. Like, they have the whole episode on the balcony. But I feel like anything that happened in this episode was just... like nothing, like, yeah. And that's my problem with, like, the last two. And then next week is a musical. Like, we have 10 episodes, 10. If I said to you right now, write down what everyone's storyline is this season, what would you write?
They're all breaking up. That's all I've got. You know what it feels like? It feels like the writers just took, like, a bunch of random ideas and put them on a board and then just threw darts at them. Like, landed on musical. They went, oh, well, I guess we're doing a musical episode.
There is kind of a lot of shows do this. I know the Office is one that really did this a lot, especially because they had 9 seasons, is that in the writer's room, they will basically have, like, all these note cards with, like, ideas, like, that, you know, it could mean... it has no connection, like, they don't know how they're going to do it. It'll be something like, oh, we really want, and it could be from really simple to, like, larger, and you could say one of them could be a musical episode. Another one could be something like, we want a scene between Bet and Finley, and normally they'll have, like, you know, tons of note cards, and it'll be a moment where someone will be like, oh, okay, this is where we can use one of the note cards. So I feel like maybe they're using that, like, maybe they're just, like, pull a random note card off the wall.
Someone just happened to write Angie pulling condom out of roommate. Oh. It's on the note card, we have to do it now.
Marsha's talked before about wanting to have a scene where Bette and Finley hook up.
Oh, come on.
So maybe this is like the Danny and Finley, that's where that's coming from.
I'm all for, what are we calling them? Fanny? No, that's wrong.
Yeah. That's what people were calling them on Twitter.
Stop saying Fanny! I'm American, it doesn't mean anything to me, but I'm still cringing.
I think it was Jeannie Gatekeeper who came up with that. She was like, rise up, Fanny Nation.
Fanny Nation? No, I think I like Danley better. Danley sounds better.
Yeah, well, that's future Ash, future Chris, future Jess's problem.
Show starts at Shane's house.
Yeah, I was surprised that they were still living, like, that they were both in the same house.
But, like, kind of ignoring each other. Tess does not want to talk to Shane.
Yeah. Well, the last we saw, Tess freaking threw the, what do you call it, the water or whatever, the drink over Shane. I thought that would be, like you'd think she would have moved out or something.
Yeah, I thought one would be in a hotel or something.
Yeah.
I mean, when you've been together for like over a year and
supposedly.
So anyway, Tess is being slightly more adult about it. Shane's basically being Shane. It feels like she wants, you know, absolution or something. They get locked outside on Shane's chasing balcony. They're trapped outside, which means they're forced to talk to each other, and neither of them are happy about that.
No.
Yeah.
And that's about as much as we have to say about that.
Well, and the bummer is, like, I was saying that, like, I kind of like this plot device, but I feel like if we saw it in any other show, it would have been used to comedic effect, and this was just, like, kind of depressing.
So. Yeah. It was weird that, like, Shane was like, well, no, Tess was like, oh, have you been to therapy? And of course Shane hasn't. And then she was like, well, I'd go if I thought it would help. I'm like, that's literally the point of therapy.
Yeah.
Maybe go to therapy. I'm like, why couldn't they resolve to just have Shane and Tess both go to therapy? Like, I don't know why Shane at the end was like, I'm just going to leave. Like, didn't you say that you'd try therapy?
I feel like that's the theme of the season. Like, everyone's in therapy, which...
They heard me.
Yeah, they heard you. They're giving you what you want, Ash. They want to put everyone in therapy.
But I haven't seen any therapy. I've just heard people talking about going and then not actually going because... Bet just went for 5 minutes to a silent retreat, and Shane said she'd go, but then
won't.
But I mean, at least Tess is the only person I feel like who's ever challenged her and called her out on this. I mean, because first she starts out by saying that she's an idiot for dating Shane in the first place because she knew Sue was a cheater, and that everyone knows that, and everyone knows that that's what she does and that's her personality. And Shane looked a little, like, chagrined by that. But come on, it's fucking true. I mean, that's been Shane since day one.
Yeah, but then there was that whole missing period when the show wasn't on, how 10 years or 12 years or whatever it's supposed to be. And when she came back, she was married, supposedly, and they were going to have a baby or whatever. Like, it was like, she was supposed to have changed.
I don't remember how long they were actually together, though. It could have been not even as long as she and Tess have been together.
That's true.
I think they also forgot. Yeah, I think they forgot that. I think they have complete anything that happened in season one, they've like forgotten, or they're just like retcon. Like Danny's dad, like even stuff from season two, I just think that they just are purposely ignoring, or like they're just like, oh, no one will notice. Because the stuff with Bette and Tina from season one also now is they've rewritten it a little bit, I think. Because in season one, they were saying, oh, Bette and Tina were, like, in a bad place, and then Tina met Carrie, but then it doesn't seem that's the way it was. I don't know.
You saying hi to everyone?
Hi, G. Look at that sweet baby face.
G would like to say, where the fuck was Bette, Tina, and Gigi?
Look at that little face.
You cheeky little munchkin. You cheeky little munchkin.
This is why you have to watch the video version, because you get to see G. And a cute little munchkin face.
Otherwise, they're just listening to the podcast going, what's going on? Why are they all talking in a baby voice all of a sudden?
G is here. She likes to be involved.
So the next scene was Angie and the roommate. What did she call it? A she-mergency?
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, she was like, please tell me you're free because I have a she-emergency.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even see it.
Angie and her roommate, who I just kept writing down roommate because I didn't remember her name until Angie said it at like the end of the
episode. What was it?
Bella.
Bella.
Bella. That's it.
I keep thinking of Bella Swan of Twilight because she's like the opposite of Kristen Stewart.
So Bella had some sexy times with a frat boy or something and has a used condom stuck inside of her, which yesterday. I immediately am thinking, I'm like, this is a movie. I've seen this before. This has been
I feel
a
like I've seen it in something before.
Yeah.
In
something.
It must be a common occurrence with straight people. I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but that's sort of like the beginning of the movie Plan B, where like she literally has on a hunt to go get Plan B because of the condom inside it, which obviously means you did not have protection.
Yeah. I wish we had a straight person to ask.
So that was bad. But I mean,
yeah, that's a good
all the
point.
Time they spent in the episode talking about sex, they completely missed the whole sexual health aspect that she could now have STDs or be pregnant.
It's maybe
straight sex education fail right there.
Yeah, fail.
We're not good to ask. out. Very, very little knowledge over here about how those parts go together. But
targeted the wrong audience with the whole scene where we just heard a nation of lesbians going, ooh.
I'll tell you how little I know about that subject. Yesterday, I have like a group chat with some of the people, some of my friends that I went to the Laurel Holloman show with, and none of them had seen the episode, and I was like saying, "Oh God, this happened," and I went to write one of the characters got a condom stuck in them, and it, because I've never really written that word before, it changed it to condiment.
One of the characters got a condiment stuck
in them. Yeah,
I don't know if this whole scene, which was like lasted the entire episode.
Yeah, I was like, that scene could have lasted for literally. Yeah, it could have literally been over in 30 seconds. It went for like an entire episode.
I guess they're leading up to Angie losing her virginity to Teacher Boy, but. Like, I mean, that was a really long ramp up to get to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready to have sex with you.
Do not like this professor guy.
Quite surprising that Angie was like, oh, Jordy and I never had sex. I'm like, you didn't?
Yeah, I thought that was weird too.
And he's still 16? Like, how old is she supposed to be now?
I think she's supposed to be 18 now. But they went out for like at least 2 years because they were... I mean, obviously, only have sex if you want to have sex, but like, what were they?
I feel like,
what were they doing?
I mean, like, two women having sex is like the safest you could be. Like, it seems like it'd be a lot easier to have sex for the first time than another girl.
But she seemed so clueless. She was just like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to. She was
I find that very hard to believe with her parents. I mean,
yeah.
It's not like she's been sheltered, and her aunts, like...
And when they were shopping for dildos or vibrator or whatever it was, was it me or did it say like $29 or something, which I'm like, is totally unbelievable. Those things are not $29. Maybe $129.
Cheap ones are $29.
It didn't look that cheap. They look like they're on a proper website.
I don't know. I found the Angie and Jordy thing strange. I feel like they were trying to like retcon stuff. And I don't know, but my high school girlfriend and I, we were watching The Outward and figuring stuff out. Like, and it's not like they went out for like a few weeks. Like, that's a long time. And they did kind of have that. I mean, Tina had that discussion with her like about...
Yeah. So didn't their moms have like a sex talk with her, sort of?
Yeah, well, she said, like, Bette, remember when the episode that Tina comes back, Bette's like, oh, I wonder if they're sleeping together or something. And then Tina was like, oh no, they haven't even kissed yet. But then I'm assuming, like, Bette and Tina, like, come on, they had to have some sort of follow-up or something. Like, that's, I mean... I've had that discussion with my brother. I don't know. I don't feel
saving themselves for marriage.
But it's very unbelievable that she wouldn't have talked to Bette and Tina about it.
Or even times. Shane and Alice, like you said, exactly. Like, come on. Like, they have a great relationship with her. And I feel as though maybe, especially her reaction to seeing like Bette and Tina together, then I'm sure she would have said to Shane, like, whatever. When Shane and Kiara took her for the driving test, like, they seem to have that type of relationship where she told Shane about Jordy before she told her parents.
See, I feel like that would have been a good storyline for Angie this season.
Yes, thank you.
Imagine you're going, having a conversation with Shane and stuff about like, I don't know, how do you do? And then Shane taking her out and being like, okay, who do you like? Let's line it up.
Well, and in the first episode when she talked about maybe this could be her hoe phase. I'm like,
the hoe phase.
She's sexually active, but you know, whatever. Spent a lot of time talking about this.
Yeah, sorry. The last thing I will say is, why on earth are we not getting Alice, Shane, and Angie scenes? Like, that is the logical thing to do when you lose Bette and Tina, because they also, like, aren't... I mean, it makes sense story-wise, because that's what people want to see. People love Alice and Shane. I will talk about this later, because I'm really annoyed about it. But about the lack of Alice and Shane, but Jordan Hull and Kate and Leisha have great chemistry. Like, why would you not tap into that? Because there's not chemistry abundance in other relationships that we're seeing on screen. So the whole point of like TV shows a lot of the time is being able to go week by week and seeing, oh, guess what? Like Danny and Gigi, these two actors have great chemistry together and work together. And it's not a film where it's like, oh, okay, we're shooting together for these 5-6 months and then you never see them again.
Her parents are gone. So you would think Shane and Alice would be like popping up, you know?
Yeah. And like checking in.
But yeah, that whole thing, it just felt like very teen show to me, but like not in a good way.
No.
I'm down with some teen shows, but this is like this is like preteen practically. I mean, this is like, well, a little
it might have worked if it was like the condom scene was all in one scene, she yanked it out, and then it would have continued with them partying or something else, or something else happening in there. But yeah, it just dragged on. So Finley and Sophie.
Finley's not happy about the whole Dre thing, that she found out that Sophie was sort of seeing someone.
But the cute little breakfast tray she'd prepared on the bed was quite cute.
But I also am finding this weird, because originally, like, that text, remember in the first episode where it's like ending before we get the Bette and Tina kiss? And Jess is like, yeah. The Dre person texts like, oh, are you up? And then like we've heard about them over the course of this half of the season. And then in this episode, Sophie's like, was she being truthful? They slept together once and hung out twice. Like, that's not seeing someone. Yeah, like, I thought that was so weird. That's like one hookup and that you happen to see them again. Now is she going to be like, oh, we hooked up once, but I've seen them twice, when like I saw them in the street when Danny was giving me a lift home? Like, it seemed odd.
Well, and at this point, it's like, I mean, I don't feel like we can trust Sophie. So yeah, true. I wasn't sure if I could believe her or not, but
yeah,
I mean,
because why would Dre be texting are you up if they had one hookup and then was over and done with, and then like months later you're like, hey.
So the questions were, what's their name, are they hot, and she says no. So first lie right there, right? Dre's hot, that's obviously a lie.
I mean, not to my style, but I can see how people would find her hot.
Well, yeah, and you're not going to hook up with someone who you're like,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, you're on an app.
Yeah, that's all you see.
Like, yeah.
That's the whole point, is to hook up with someone who's hot, right?
Find someone like, attractive.
Right. They met on Hinge, which she joined after Finley joined Sober Living. So we get some more answers there about Finley, because we were like, this doesn't make any sense that she's in rehab for like a year.
Yeah, yeah, that makes more sense.
So it's like, I feel like this is information we should have had several episodes ago. So yeah, rehab ends. Finley decides, I need to move into sober living for a year. None of which we knew before.
Which would make sense that they would be like, let's go be on a break. Because it's the whole year of your life. Are you going to wait around? I don't know, like... Unless she was like, go off, do whatever you want, and then I'll come back in a year.
I just don't understand. Like, I mean, I know it's probably like because it's a show, but people act as if like you know, like you have like the, what is it, the five F's, food, like all that stuff. Like, people act as if you are literally going to die if you don't have sex. And if you really like love someone, then like control yourself, like Jesus. I don't get this and it comes up all the time, like, oh, it's been a month, or oh, you know, but if you really love someone, like, it, you know, people get deployed all over the world for like a year or more. People have jobs that keep them apart. People have other commitments or other things or visas or whatever. Like, it's really not that. I mean, yeah, sure, it's hard. Don't get me wrong. I know long distance and all that is hard, but you are not going to die if you do not have sex for like a couple of months. And Finley's going through like literally a, you know, really, really difficult time.
Sophie was lonely.
Get a cat. Right.
And so Finley asks her why it ended. And she said, I was in love with you. And I was like,
well, she says, did she say was?
Was? She said was. She did not say, I'm in love with you. And that's why it ended. She said, I was in love with you.
Well, yeah, like, as in at the time, she was in love and probably still is, supposedly. But she's talking in, like, a past tense. Yeah, like, at that time. Just, like, I don't know.
That just kind of red flag pinged for me. And yeah, also, like Ash said, if you were in love with her, why'd you need to sleep with someone 2 minutes later?
I think they're going to be donezo real soon. I'm calling it now. They are.
When Finley moves on with my other choice, no. Denny.
No. Jesus, the only Fanny fan in the world.
Fanny, that's weird.
Break out from the group. Expand the chart.
Then I'm going to bring in someone new now.
Oh, there's some people coming back.
Oh, some God. People coming I forgot back, about that. Baby. Yeah, there's more people. God.
Keep your eyes peeled. Episode 10.
So we move on to my least favorite plot device of all time.
Ugh.
Let's make a baby.
Let's make a baby. And yeah. You know that they're an exciting couple when one of their options for the evening is to sort their Tupperware. I'm like, I literally, if you put there the two characters, if you choose an icon for them, Tupperware would be the best, like, representation of them. They are Tupperware. They're so boring.
So boring. That got one of my so borings, actually.
And again, another scene that could have been 5 seconds long that lasted an entire episode.
The entire episode. Oh my gosh. And I mean, okay, granted, there's three of us here with, like, no babies in sight. So I don't know
never if other will people,
be. I don't know if other people care about this at all. But
I got a comment yesterday on my video, because in my video and somebody, I said this last week and someone clipped it and shared it on Twitter, and it was one of my proudest moments. I love when people take things from my video. I don't know why it's Twitter, but I love when people put, like, things on Twitter or Instagram from one of my accounts. It gives me, like, a boost. And the person had clipped me saying, could not care less, and said that they were gonna, like, use it as, like, the reaction for the rest of the episodes. And so, like, normally when they're talking about the baby, that's, and I said it in yesterday's episode, I was like, I could not care less. And I said, I do not connect with this, because the whole point of, like, this podcast, my video, is you're getting my honest opinion. So I'm being honest and saying I don't have any interest in kids, but I will always caveat things by saying, even if I say, oh, everyone thinks this, I say, there are people that connect with this. I'm not representative of everyone. Like, go look in the comments. You can see, you know, tons of opinions. And I said that, like, I don't connect with this, but I'm sure there's other people out there who do. Good for them. But I wish we weren't doing this on the L word. Somebody literally was like, well, there are other people who have kids and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I said that. You just, people, like, they hear one thing and, like, run with it, or, like, they start writing their comment and don't let me finish my sentence. But this, I'm just not gonna sit here and say I'm interested in something I'm not. Like, that's phony. Then I may as well just lie about the whole thing. I'm gonna be honest, because we have the ability. Nobody's paying us to do this. Nobody's, you know, we don't work for Showtime. We're not sponsored by them. We can be honest about it. We wish we were it.
Sometimes. The money would come in handy.
Yeah. We're doing this, putting ourselves through this for nothing.
Well, we're doing it for you. We're doing it for the listeners.
We love you.
I don't really like writing when it feels like, okay, we're the choir, but I still feel like we're being preached to. Like, although, like, oh, cishet, you know, discussion. Yeah, and
a lot of people didn't like that.
It's like, all right, like, we get it, we get what, like, we know what the issues are, and sometimes it's like they have to say it, but I don't know, I feel like there's certain ways you can say it where you don't feel like you're being, like, lectured at.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people that didn't like that,
but they literally got to the very end scene of it, of this sperm donor talk, and got nowhere because they found no matches. And they were like, oh, well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so we literally sat through this entire episode of you trying to find a sperm donor, and then there's no result.
Yeah, talking about how it's eugenics and stuff, and, oh, we shouldn't pick a perfect baby. We should pick one that's like us, which I'm with Micah, like, ouch, but, like, oh, fair, okay. But it's like, yeah, I've had lots of friends who have done this, you know, donor search. I was holding my breath a little bit at the end because I thought they were, like, purchase. Like, I thought they were, like,
oh,
we're buying the sperm.
Yeah,
and I'm like, no, no one does that. No one's like, oh, hey, let's have a fun night with a glass of wine. I'm like, go pick our baby daddy, like, right now. Like,
as the Amazon drone drops it at your doorstep.
Yeah.
You spend a lot of time. I'm like, they are not ready for this. Like, you spend a lot of time with that. So that freaked me out a little bit. So
knowing
the search filter, I was like,
but knowing the L word, next week Maribel will be pregnant and they've already chosen the sperm donor.
But so the only other thing I want to say about this, because we're all bored.
Bored. We fell asleep during it.
The only thing I will say is, like, how big a difference this is from the original L word when Bette and Tina are not looking at sperm donors. They're like, we gotta go out in person and talk to men we know.
Sleep with people.
Yeah, like how like what a difference, like, you know, 20 years makes when you're like, how do I get a baby? I better go find a guy I'd be willing to sleep with, or like milk, do a turkey baster thing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I forgot to say. When the whole Angie and her roommate tampon thing, which, like, I get was supposed to be, you know, humorous, but just didn't quite land. I didn't feel like. When I wrote down, I'm like, this scene would have been so much more hilarious if the OGs were doing, if this was like Alice and Shane in this scene.
Being like,
yeah,
that would have been freaking hilarious.
Yeah, that I can see that.
Well, getting a condom out of Alice.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that actually would have been funnier. But right? I feel like Alice would have had way more experience and would know how to get a condom out.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah, the agree. Whole thing this would have been way more. It would have been way more
funnier. Asking Shane, and
can you imagine Shane being all like grossed out? Yeah.
Yes, and like that is more like something you ask someone you've been friends with for, you know, a couple decades, and not like, hi, I met you 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Can you pull something out of my vagina?
Right.
Can I tell you though? In university, I used to work for an OBGYN. And the amount
I'm gonna add this to the long list of jobs that Ash has done.
Mm-hmm. I have the medical group now and it has an OB in it. But the amount of things that have been pulled out of vaginas.
Oh, good Lord.
The list is endless.
Anyway, moving right along.
what weird things have you found in vaginas?
I find this hilarious because when I'm reading about the period cup things.
Oh yeah.
And people are always worried about, like, oh, what if I can't get it out or getting it stuck up there? And it's like, oh, just bear down, like, it'll come out. Like, it seems like a lot easier to get something out of your vagina than, I mean, I feel like more stuff gets, more doctors are removing things from people's rectums, not the other way around.
Yeah. But. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Much more common. Like out of, yeah.
So, Danny almost gets run over by a scooter, which looked hilariously badly done.
Well, they're like, quite the meat cute though.
Yeah, but they mentioned it was like, no, it was very forced.
Yeah,
I'm like just... yeah, the way, like, as if the scooter guy wouldn't have just gone around her. It's not going to barrel into her. You would have fallen off as well.
The way they said, oh, I want to kiss you or something like that.
I know,
that,
who like, says that? Like, literally after 1 second after meeting someone.
I feel like they said it because they were like, oh, if we say it, maybe it's not, like, cheesy. But, yeah, it was.
Cheesy part was finding out who that person was later on. Yeah. Where I was like, oh, are you kidding me? Out of everyone in Los Angeles, that's the one. Okay, fine. But that just happens to be Dre, who Sophie had slept with.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like them together at all?
I'm just really.
You're still hurt off Gigi.
Yeah, because anytime I said this yesterday in my video, anytime I see Danny, all I think is, where the fuck is Gigi? Why did you fuck all this up with Gigi? Why isn't she in the show? And I will not be satisfied with anyone that isn't Gigi. I just really am not feeling like this parade of guest stars. Like, I want I like the show because I like all the characters.
Well, she thought maybe she might have been a singer or something, judging by the fact they had her singing on the show.
No, yeah, I mean, she was a really good singer, but that applies to everyone, like Tessa's mom and all these other people and we know there's even more guest stars coming. Like, the whole point of a show is to build, like, the characters that, like, that's my whole favorite part, is the characters and their relationships. Like, I want them to do things like the OG when they did that whole, oh, we have to go to the restaurant and do the test to see if Laura Perkins is gay. Like,
but those are some of the Angela best... Robinson.
Yeah, those are, like, some of the genius. Best moments. Yeah. And then now they're just like, I don't know.
Was it taking things out of vaginas? The disposition of a Miss Laura Perkins?
Yeah.
Ooh, I will have to say, even though I like the little like rom-com aspect of it, I absolutely hated the like 10 minutes we spent talking about the freaking wedding planner.
Oh, like, my God.
Quoting, is this a big movie that everyone knows? I mean, like, it's not like it's Dirty Dancing and people know all the lines ago, yeah.
I have one big gripe about that. As soon as they brought it up, and I was like rolling my eyes hardcore and groaning, because when they were like, oh, like it's a culturally, what did they call it?
Oh, yes, this is the bit.
And they were like, oh, yeah, because J-Lo was Puerto Rican and she was playing in Italian. Oh, my God. And I'm like, this is the part where they're like explaining Carmen, right? Not being on the show and will never be on the show ever again. I was like, those sons of bitches.
I thought that too. And the way they were saying like, oh, everything in the 2000s was so problematic. It's like
they were
talking about the L word in this way.
They were excusing themselves, giving themselves a little out. Like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we were terrible back then.
Yeah, but oh, we're so much better than.
Yeah, now we're better. Yeah.
No, I would love to know in the comments though, if anyone has actually seen The Wedding Planner enough times to
quote it.
To quote it, or to like say it's their favorite movie, or to care about it at all, because that all just rang totally false.
I wonder if it was just something from
is this a generational thing? Was this a big movie to people who are their age? Because I don't get it.
Well, I was thinking maybe it could have been a Sophie and Danny like thing that they were in their relationship, they watched it over and over again, and it was just their movie.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, but the whole, like, quoting the whole, like, yeah.
I mean, we all have random movies that we love to randomly quote.
Yeah, but we don't write them into a TV show, like, as that's if everyone true. Else is going to be what we're talking about.
I know, that's true.
The thing is, like, I feel like now, just everything is, like, they make everything sound as if it's problematic. I saw someone the other day on Twitter, like, absolutely shredding Legally Blonde and saying like all the blonde white women who love Legally Blonde when really she was like stalking her ex by going to the same school as him, and like I was like, it's Legally Blonde, like Jesus.
Those YouTube trailers that they recut to like they recut like horror movies to be like comedies. Oh, I have to say though, like back when Danny has just kissed Dre and she's gone inside, one of my favorite moments of this episode was like Danny ordering this like tequila from Finley.
Oh, that was good,
like,
yeah.
I don't want anything cheap. And Finley just like, oh, I know, but I've been to your house, and then like doot on the nose.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's my favorite moment. That wins the episode for me. Finley saves the day again.
That was good.
Danny is gonna tell Sophie about what just happened. She asks if she can like tell her something without
her being judgy.
I'm like, you know you're talking to Sophie, right?
But I like that their relationship has turned into the most lesbian thing that's ever happened, which is like you become that kind of person with your ex where you're just like talking about other people they're dating with and sleeping with and all this stuff. Yeah, it's so gay.
And I was not, even when Sophie and Finley were like kissing right before then, I'm not feeling any passion with them at all.
No, zero.
Like, I feel more chemistry between Sophie and Danny than Sophie and Finley right now.
Mm. I don't know what they're doing there. I know a lot of people think that like they're gonna put Sophie and Danny back together.
No, they've lost it.
I don't know what's going, because they do seem to have like a lot of scenes coming up, and then I'll talk at the end about the last scene they had. But yeah, I do not understand why they are keeping Alice like separate from everyone else. Leisha said on the Pants podcast, this is probably like maybe more than a month back, like maybe 2 months back, and they were talking about like, oh, the upcoming season, and this is when they were saying like, oh, they're both missing an episode, and Leisha was saying like, oh, I'm not really in, I think, the beginning of the season, and Kate said she really wasn't in the end of the season. And then that Leisha was like, you could really just replace me with a chicken and just have the chicken come on and be like, bah! And say one thing and then leave. And I think Kate said she could be like a raccoon or something. She had, yeah, she was, yeah, an animal, I remember, too.
Yeah, they went on a little rant about what animal they could be.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah.
But I wonder if it's like,
just replaced it with the chicken. There's no other scenes as a group.
But could it be like a time commitment thing or something where like Leisha was like, yeah, to the Elwood, like, hey, I'm only available on Tuesdays or something.
No.
And then they had to work around.
What else do they have going on?
I don't know.
They are in first.
The pants podcast?
No. Oh, you mean that they turn mics on for half an hour and talk about nothing? They don't edit. They don't edit that. They've got like a whole team of people that do that. They literally sit the time that they record and that's it. They're in first position for their contracts, which means this show, they like, no one, nothing else, no other projects can come in. Like, they have to give their first time commitment to the L Word. And yeah, what else are they doing? Like, it's totally the writer's choice. It's nothing to do with them, because they've made that clear in lots of things they've said on Pants. Like, even last week when they were talking about, Kate was saying like, oh, I wish that we'd said something about Jenny. I wanted to say something about Jenny, but the writers overruled me. Like, they've made it clear those executive producer credits are just,
yeah, I was gonna say payment. That you think that they would have
control.
They would have been able to overrule writers with an executive producer credit.
No, that it's just a payment. They're not in control. But that's what I mean. Like, I just don't understand why they are doing this, because the best scene of this episode was the Alice and Shane one at the end. And last week there was no Alice and Shane. They didn't interact. Next week's a musical, so it's not really gonna matter. Episodes 7 and 8, there's no Alice and Shane interacting, because 7 there's no Shane and 8 there's no Alice. So out of half of the season, 5 episodes, you're what? The only interaction is one scene and then in a musical that is taking place in people's heads. So we're getting nothing. Why? You have 2 OG characters left and you're not having them interacting. You're not even having... Alice isn't in any group scenes. She's not talking to anyone else. And Leisha did say last week too, she was like, sometimes I tune into the show because I want to know what, like, Danny did this week, because it has no bearing on, like, Danny could literally be, like, I don't know, torching running the place or, like, yeah, like, and it has no implication on Alice at all. I just, this show is supposed to be, like, people will say, you know, that actually watch the show and like it. It's about, like, friendship and the relationship with the women and things like that, not just, like, people going about doing random shit.
Mm-hmm.
And guest stars, like, it's all I don't care about guest stars.
Yeah, that's why Jess and I were so excited whenever they do the group scenes together, because we're like, oh, that's what the show is supposed to be about.
But there's nothing. And like,
no.
So is Joey Lauren Adams, is she gone from the show now? Like, what?
Yeah,
what?
That whole scene was weird.
And like, when it first started, when, you know, Alice walks into the movie theater, I got a little excited because I was ooh, like, the episode's about to get good, because Alice always brings the comedy mm-hmm. element
yeah.
to it.
Yeah.
And we already knew that she's expecting Shane to meet her there, and Shane's locked out on the balcony. So we already know, like, ooh, hijinks, like, something's gonna happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's Alice with her 2 giant bags of popcorn sitting by herself and like catching every random dude that walks in thinking it's Shane.
The old ladies behind her were funny though, because like, she literally said, I picked 2 seats with no one behind us so they can't kick our seats, and then like, she literally sits down and gives them like a glare sitting right behind her.
And yeah, so then we see Taylor come in with another woman. I'm like, I mean, I just thought it'd be nothing. I honestly thought, you know, Alice is gonna be like,
well, it wasn't a preview,
thinking something's going on and it's going to be like her friend from work or something. So I didn't expect,
actually. We already knew because it was in the trailer last week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, it showed them kissing.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah, so that's why we were like, what is already happening with them? Like, ugh.
Yeah.
But I kind of understood where Taylor was coming from. Taylor, is that her name, right?
Yeah.
Because they haven't had that exclusivity chat yet. And while you don't, like, before you have that chat, usually you're still dating other people, like, you're going on Hinge and all those places mm-hmm. to still find someone. So you're still going on dates with other people until you have that chat with that one person and go, we're exclusive now, right? and then you're exclusive.
I don't know.
I mean, some people are old school and don't think that, that's a thing, but I think that modern people do that. I don't know.
I don't know. See, I thought that was more of an old school thing to date a lot of people. Like, like casually date before you settle with someone. But casual dating to me is like literally going out on a date. Like, oh, we're going out to the movies. We might share a kiss and then you drop me back home. Like,
yeah, well, not... that's probably the what that person was. The second she
spent an entire like 3-day weekend in Alice's bed, you are no longer casually dating. Yeah. That's your girlfriend.
Oh, I don't know about that. Well, probably a lot of people would beg to disagree as
well. Yeah, I Jess, I agree with you.
Yeah, 3 days. 3 days?
Yeah, no, I still, no.
I haven't got 3 days to do anything. So 3 days in someone's house. I haven't even had 3 days off.
No, I've heard a lot of stories from a lot of, let's say, dysfunctional lesbians.
lesbians?
Well, where I would have thought that 3 days constantly at someone's house meant that you're their girlfriend, but this, like, I've known people who are like full on, like they've almost moved in for 2 weeks, and then they turns out they weren't even dating. Like, I was like, what?
But Taylor and Alice had a whole conversation of like, oh, I really like you and I'm trying, like, oh, are we at that part of our relationship yet where we can see each other without makeup on and stuff? They had a conversation about where they are in their relationship.
I feel like that was the L word, making it sound like a lot more time had passed in their relationship than it actually had.
It had been like a month.
Well, yeah, in theory. In L word time. Was it a month though? Yeah, exactly. It was the timeline all screwed up.
I think
it was more closer to like a week.
Well, I don't know.
I think they're just still brand new.
No. I mean, they said it was a month. She spent multiple days there. They had the conversation about, ooh, are we going to, you know, let some of the mystery go?
And after a week.
Like, you do that when you're in a relationship with someone.
Oh, I don't know. That's just more like, oh, can I be more comfortable around you now?
See, I don't think anyone's seen me without makeup for like probably like 7 years.
That's like, you better be married.
Yeah.
That's like much. The lesbian urge to merge, though. That's like happens after a week. I was waiting for hijinks, though. I would have rather the whole Taylor thing not have happened in the cinema. And instead, Ellis had to like rush over to like Shane's to be like, what's going on? Why can't you get out? And then she can't find the keys. And then there could have been a whole thing about like trying to get them off a ladder, off the patio, or something funny.
But it wasn't supposed to be a funny scene. That was a serious scene about Shane and all of her shit that no one's ever called her on before.
Yeah, but still nothing got resolved. But the weirdest part out of that patio scene for me was like the fact that like Tess is like, could you be a sex addict? And Shane's like, maybe. I'm like, are you serious? Come on.
Yeah, Shane is not a sex addict. That was weird. I said that in my review too. That was weird.
She's not. She's just afraid of commitment, but she's not addicted to sex.
Yeah.
Like, but it's also weird to say, I think it's weird to say that like sex means absolutely nothing to you whatsoever.
Oh, some people it doesn't mean anything to them. Especially someone like Shane, who we know in the past was a sex worker. Like,
that's true. Yeah.
Have you blocked that all out?
I blocked out everything from the OG.
Well, Shane used to sleep with like.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Remember it was Alan Cumming was in it, and he said something about, I don't know, pimping out Shane or something. I can't remember the specifics, but the fact that would have happened, Shane would have probably turned off feelings about sex a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Ash kind of said something about this earlier to this effect when Tess is asking her if she's a sex addict, and Shane's like, yeah, but besides that, it's just, it's been a lot. And I immediately was like, BS. Like, this is every man who's ever cheated on their wife when they're pregnant or something. It's like, oh, it's just so hard. It's like, grow the fuck up. Don't make excuses for the fact that you can't keep it in your pants for like a second when you're not feeling the same thing as your partner. No.
Yeah.
Well, I think that one of the main things that come out of the patio scene was Shane saying that she's not happy. And then they hugged and she cried. And I think that for me was them breaking up.
Yeah. But again, it's a pattern. I mean, she's unhappy for a second and she runs, which means she sleeps with someone. So she gets broken up with.
We don't know how long she's been unhappy for. She could have been unhappy for a while now. Technically, according to the timeline, it's been a year.
Just don't cheat on people. It's not hard.
Yeah, I just don't get it either. Like, I feel as though, I mean, with the show, like, I understand, like, a lot of the whole, you know, fun and messiness and all that comes from they want like cheating, they want like exciting storyline. And I understand as well, like a lot of people say, oh, I would really just love to see, you know, like people being happy and stuff. And it's like, but that's boring. And people, you know, maybe there's like a really small percentage of people that would watch that, but most people wouldn't watch that. I think that what you could do to solve all this is that, and one of the things that like is missing from Gen Q is that there isn't a villain. There isn't anyone that causes any, like Jenny on the original show was the villain, like in the end. And all that stuff, like think about, see, I love season 5. Season 5 is my favorite season. I like the Bette and Tina stuff, but
wait,
is
that
the
season where they went and made the movie about the L word?
Yeah, and
I love that whole I love that whole thing where it went all meta.
It's brilliant. I love the Les Girls stuff. I think it was such a clever storyline, and I loved the way too, like they did, you know, stuff like the way they would always be like, oh, we're releasing a press release that says Gretchen Pickles is the only gay cast member, and it's like they're making fun of, they used to do that with Lisha Haley. And I just don't understand, like, why this isn't the L word anymore. Like, it's just random people, like, paired off together, talking about, like, I just don't see anything that I can relate to on, like, most of the people on screen. Like,
well, that
moment.
Was the whole point of like having the planet back in the day, because it was where they all came together as a community, as a group. And
yeah,
I thought that would be the same for Dana's, but Dana's just seems like a place to have an event, like an event, or
yeah,
where some of the characters go some of the time, and it's like, oh, Shane. Like, I thought because Shane and Tess owned it, they would be there, but I'm like,
yeah,
where even are they?
Who's, yeah, it's normally like Finley that's
they
running the show.
They literally hired Finley back, and the second later that, like, Finley's in charge of the entire bar, the alcoholic.
And she didn't
alcoholic.
Even know how to make drinks, like, a second ago.
Yeah.
When they first hired her, I mean,
she was in there for, like, 2 seconds before she pulled the fire alarm because she was panicking and she wanted to have a drink. I'm like, you should not be working in a bar. Like,
which was about the only thing good that happened in this episode, though. Like, at least that was some action.
Yeah, one of the
I
things
still
I was...
love Finley.
Me too. My
I
favorite.
Like Finley. I like Finley.
Finley saves the show for me.
And Finley's like, she's a good person. She's standing up for herself, honestly, because, you know, we already talked about at the top of the show how do you trust Sophie when Finley's asking her these questions about this relationship with Dre? Do you trust her? And then here, Dre pops up on scene, and. Which, by the way, during sexy times when Sophie's not thinking about Finley, I was kind of glad of Finley kind of being like, I cannot talk to you right now, and I so cannot talk to you or even look at you, that I'm going to pull the fire alarm to get everyone the hell out of here.
I guess I just, like, get slowly, like, more frustrated, because I also, like, I hate that I'm not enjoying these episodes. Like, hello, I'm, like, literally the biggest L Word fan. Like, all last, even like the first couple episodes this season, like, I talk about this show every day of my life, every single day. And I work, maybe I'm not working on the actual show, but I'm working on something to do with the show every single day. And at the moment doing daily videos, and at the beginning of the season, like the first two episodes, oh my god, like on Fridays I was like jumping out of bed at 3:30 because I was like, yes, it's a new episode, and was so excited and like couldn't wait to get my videos up and like talk to everyone about what they thought about the episode. And yesterday, I mean, like, my alarm went off at like 3:30 and I was just like, oh, like, there's nothing in this episode that I'm excited about. And I watched it and I felt like the whole not to be like, oh, this is all about me, but like the whole point of my channel is that it's like a channel of like a normal person giving their real thoughts on the show. And the reason that I've been able to grow the channel and all that stuff is because I'm working hard and I'm enthusiastic about it, because there's no, like, no, Showtime doesn't pay me. Like, nobody pays me to do this. There's ads on my videos, but they're like, LGBTQ content does not make a lot of money. So it's my love that's making me do this. Like, I want to enjoy the show. I want to talk to other people about it. And starting the channel when Tina came back was born out of, I wanted to talk to someone about it, because I don't really have anyone here who watches the L Word in real life. And now, yesterday, it felt like a job. It felt like a chore to watch the episode and talk about it. And that's sad, like, because it's not my job. And if I don't love it, like, I'm not going to continue to, you know, if this is the way next season's going to go, like, why am I going to get up at 3:30 to watch something I don't even like?
Mm. You literally experienced exactly what Jess and I experienced during the first OG show. We went into it so enthusiastic, so wholeheartedly, and we worked for free and we put our souls into it and we loved it, and then it went to shit, and then we became disgruntled and they treated us like crap, and we became even sadder, to the point where, yeah, it was a chore and we didn't want to do it anymore. Like,
yeah.
And now we've all arrived at the end of the end result, which is we're all disgruntled now.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating.
We want it to succeed, we want it to do well, we want it to do better. And it doesn't.
Yeah, the best part of the episode was the last scene with Shane's dog spooning Allison and Shane.
Oh, the dog sandwich was so cute. But the part where, like, Alice was like, oh, do you want to be the little spoon? And Shane was like, oh, no one's ever asked me that before. I was like, oh, it was so sweet.
I just don't know why they, like, aren't having Alice and Shane interact. Like, I can't say that enough.
I know, literally, what was it, 30-second scene they had at the end was better than the entire 54-minute episode. Yeah. They should have just had the whole episode just be Shane and Alice, and that would be very happy.
Yeah, they just keep them, like, completely separate, and it's like, why?
There's no logical explanation. If there is, we would like to know what it is, Showtime.
Yeah, we'll be holding my breath for an answer on that one. I don't understand. It's like they... I don't know, like, they're shooting themselves in the foot by, like, their decisions now at the moment. Laurel did an interview, then Kate and Leisha did one, then Jamie did one with The Advocate, and they shot this interview the day after episode 1 had come out. So it's so stale and old, like, and they only released them this week. It makes no sense, because Kate and Leisha and Jamie and stuff, they won't talk about anything past and anything in the season. So even though we've already seen 5 episodes, they're like, oh yeah, there's a reason that Alice and Shane see more of Angie this year, and it's like, you're not even talking about the fact that Bette and Tina aren't there. So it's all incredibly old, this stuff. But Jamie said in her interview that the night before she did the interview was the day where they went to the Semi-Tropic for the season premiere watch party. And Jamie said that Marja did, like, this introduction to the episode and basically said, like, you know, it's great if you love the show and you love the characters and stuff, but it's okay to hate the show too, and to hate storylines and to hate characters. And, like,
is she trying to recreate the hatred we all had for Jenny by, like, making us hate the entire show now?
Yeah, so I don't know, like, I understand, because I remember reading this interview that Marja did, like, right, and it was like when obviously the first season was on, and I was just getting into, like, covering stuff, and, you know, I didn't really know tons about Marja at this stage. And I read this interview where she talked about I think it was the renewal, because they were always going to get two seasons. They just didn't, they weren't open about it. And that's why they chose the episode that Laurel came back to be like, oh, we're renewed for two seasons, because they knew lots of people would be talking about the show. So Marsha was basically, I think it was at the end of the season, like the finale had come out, and she said, oh yeah, I'm really glad we got another season, because if I didn't, like, I'd be chased down by lesbians forever being like, who did Sophie pick? And when I was thinking about this, I was like, oh my God, yeah, that was the cliffhanger for season one. I forgot about that. And I've never heard like anyone, like, even when the the hiatus between season one and two, like, nobody ever used to ask about that. It was always like, what's going on with Bette and Tina or Gigi or something like that. And it just, when she's saying like, hate the storyline, I hate the characters, like, I understand the way you have those characters like Jenny, who, like, you love to hate or hate to love or whatever you want to say, but turning your whole show into like something people dislike, it's not the same as like having that like, oh, I love everyone, but I really hate this character, but I'm still so invested and still love all the other characters and want to watch. But how I feel now is not hate. I feel disinterested. Like, I don't hate Micah and Maribel and all those people. I just am so bored by them and I'm not interested. And I'm like one of your biggest fans, and I'm saying that's bad.
Yeah. I did see someone in our Facebook group today post, though. They wrote, I currently hate the show, but since we don't have a lot of choice in the field of lesbian dramas or lesbian TV shows, I'm going to be here every episode with my popcorn to watch it. So, like, basically they can force feed us anything, including fishing condoms out of vaginas, because they know we're going to be here watching it.
I don't know. I know that there's definitely less people watching the show. You can see it in their social media numbers. Do I know that for an absolute fact? No, like, I don't work at Showtime, I can't see their numbers, but you can tell it's not the Bette and Tina. I mean a lot of people are annoyed and want Bette back on the show and stuff, but I believe the biggest reflection of the downturn in numbers is Gigi and Danny and Gigi, because the active people that watch Gen Q, more of them care about Danny and Gigi because they're new, they're fresh, like, there hasn't been long enough for people to hate Danny and Gigi, and that is having a huge impact. And I still believe that's why they're not saying anything still to this day. 6 a.m. on Saturday the 17th of December, they still haven't said shit about Seppi, who was on Instagram looking hot as hell and telling them what they fucking missed, because, oh God.
Yeah, I did see a number of people in my group as well say that they came on going like, oh, like, after reading some of the comments, I'm like, I can see that I have missed nothing by not watching it this week.
Yeah.
So we can definitely see people are not tuning in. In fact, I have seen a few people say that they don't regret canceling their subscription. So I'm like,
yeah, I've had a
lot. Showtime are probably going to see their numbers dropping there.
Well, I've had a lot of people say to me, I'm still going to watch your channel. And then I've had people say, oh, I never used to watch your video before I watched the episode, but now I'm only watching your video because I don't want to watch the episode, but I want to know what happened. Yeah.
Well, out of 10, what do we think? I'm going to give it a solid 3 just for the Shane and Alice content.
I was going to say 5, which might be too high because it was quite boring. But
I was going to say 4 because the Shane and Alice stuff, and it's still better than a lot of straight stuff. But
yeah. I just feel like at least we got some questions answered, because
that's true.
The scenes are longer.
Yeah, they've had to explain.
They actually have to talk about stuff. But stuff.
That was the episode. But next week, is gonna be make or break, baby. Make or break.
From the trailer, it looked all right.
I'm gonna lose it. Or
you're either going to be ecstatic or you're going to be like, oh my God, shoot me now.
I do not like musicals. That is the thing. So
yeah, I don't generally, but sometimes when there's like a Buffy episode or whatever, then it's like, well done. Yeah. So when they do it well like that, then I don't mind them and excited for it. Yeah.
Fanny.
I am excited for Fanny, but I'm excited for what did they call them? Denley.
I'm not sure who. So I'm
excited for some reappearances of some characters.
I think it's Leisha and Rosanne that are like, I think they're going to be carrying most of the singing.
Singing, yeah.
And
because I'm like, oh, is Shane going to sing? Because that's not going to go down well unless it's been auto-tuned.
Well, the thing is, they had Kehlani and then they had professional opera singer Seppi, and both of them leave and then they do a musical episode.
That's again another they've shot themselves in the foot there.
There is a really cool OG coming back, which I think people will maybe they'll overlook a lot of the other stuff because it was like when Tina came back, you know, like
it's the reason why they're doing it.
Oh yeah
conveniently placed
OG
returning character. Yeah.
There's a lot coming up. I have a video on my channel that basically breaks down what we know or what I know about what's coming up, because there's also a big Bette and Tina fan service moment. If you want to know, well, two actually. If you want to know more, I'll leave the video linked in the description box and show notes. Well, there is lots still to come in the second half of the season, and just hang in there. We've got the musical episode next week and then two more episodes and then Bette and Tina are back, and hopefully we get some good OG scenes then, because as I said, Alice and Shane aren't really going to be back together until episodes 9 and 10 after next week. So hang in there. We're all in this together. We're all in this together.
Musical episode.
So, yeah. Maybe ours should be a musical episode next week.
There we go. So if you want to check out any of those videos I mentioned, I'll leave them linked below. If you want to check out Chris and Jess's site, The L Word Online, I'll leave it linked in the show notes below. Also, you can follow all of us and Drinks at Dana's on Instagram, and those are linked in the show notes as well. If you would like to leave us a review on Apple or Spotify, we would super, super appreciate that. And don't forget to leave your thoughts, feelings, and opinions in the comment section on YouTube. And thanks so much for listening, for watching. Make sure you come back next week for episode 6, Questions for the Universe. As always, make sure to stay safe, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Wait, when was your birthday?
Oh, it's not. It's
you have to think about your birthday.
Tuesday. I didn't know which day it was. Tuesday.
No,
Tuesday.
But what date is it?
Oh, the 20th. The 20th.
You're like, what date is your birthday?
My brain is full with L words.